And let's read the second half of chapter 13. And we'll also read a few verses from chapter 14. Let's read from chapter 13, verse 8, to chapter 14 and verse 4. One verse each, عدد واحد كل شخص من 13:8 إلى 14:4. So we start with 13 and verse 8, please.
Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall exceed. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known.
And now abide in faith, hope, and charity, these three.
For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man but unto God, for no man understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries.
But he that prophesies speaketh unto man to edification and exhortation and comfort.
He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church.
All right, let's stop there. Let's remember what we were speaking about last time. Some details that had to do with verse 8, in particular of chapter 13. Beginning in verse 8, and in the verses that follow, you have the idea clearly expressed that the spiritual gifts that are being spoken of will come to an end. الهبات الروحية اللي عم يتكلم عنها بولس ستأتي إلى نهاية. Will come to an end, and the idea is that there's finality with that end. In other words, these things will not start again. This is implied by the language. نهاية بكل معنى الكلمة مش بمعنى إنه بترجع هالأمور بتتكرر. Now remember, the spiritual gifts are three. They are the gift of languages, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of knowledge. Now looking at verse 8 and the verses which follow, I believe that one can understand, I think this is the correct interpretation, that there is a distinction between the languages on one hand and the prophecy and the knowledge on the other hand. That distinction is seen in three things. First of all, when it says prophecies shall be done away and knowledge shall vanish away, this is actually the same word in Greek. All right? It has been translated in our translation as two different words, done away and then vanished, but it's the same word in Greek. Now, when he speaks of the languages, he uses another word. So that's one difference. One word for knowledge and prophecy in the Greek as they are coming to an end, another word for languages. The second difference is a difference in the verb tense. In the verb tense, صيغة الفعل. For prophecy and for knowledge, there is one verb tense. For languages, a different verb tense. The third distinction is a distinction that is found in verses 9 and 10, where he speaks of knowing in part and prophesying in part. And then in verse 10, he says, that which is in part shall be done away with when the perfect comes. So knowledge and prophecy will be done away with when the perfect comes, and I think we've considered carefully reasons to think that the perfect is the Bible. Why doesn't he mention languages there? That's a third distinction. Now, one distinction. Someone might say it's just a stylistic variation, hik, tanawwu' fil usloob. But the fact that there is a different verb, and a different verb tense, and an exclusion of languages in verses 9 and 10, that's 3 points. And I think that makes a good argument, you know, along the lines of 2 or 3 witnesses. That makes a good argument for the fact that there's a difference between the ending of tongues, the ending of languages, and the ending of knowledge and of prophecy. Considering the details of the verbs, what the verbs mean and what the verb tenses mean, this is the conclusion. We looked at it in detail last time. The languages will vanish, will fade away on their own. Subsequent to that, the perfect will come and bring prophecy and knowledge to an end. Now remember, prophecy is not prophecies as if there will be no more prophecies and prophecies won't be fulfilled and knowledge will know nothing. No, no, no. We're talking about prophesying and we're talking about knowledge as in special revelations from the Lord. Let me say this again. Languages will vanish on their own. They will fade away. And subsequent to that, the perfect will come, and when the perfect comes, it will bring prophesying and knowledge to an end.
With the Lord Jesus.
To an end. The perfect, we looked at it. I don't want to get into it in detail because we looked at it. The perfect, I believe, the best way to understand it is a reference to the Bible. So, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Understood as a child. I thought as a child. Verse 11. Some people see 3 things being mentioned there that might correspond to the 3 gifts in question. I spoke as a child. Could be a reference to the languages. And I understood as a child. And I thought as a child. Could be a reference to the knowledge and to the prophecy. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now the word childish there, I don't know whether that's a very good translation, because when we say childish, usually we mean something that is it has a negative aspect to it. But remember that these things in their time were good. Now maybe you could argue that the word childish is not so bad there. All right, these things in their time were things given by God. But they were given for a certain time. And after that time, it was time for what? It was time for something better. It was time for the New Testament to be recognized, of course written first, and then recognized and circulated and accepted. And that is better. Sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we have problems accepting what God says about what's better. You see, there are people who would say, no, I'd rather have the prophesying, and I'd rather have the knowledge, and I'd rather have the languages. God knows what's better. God knows what is better. Some people would say, I'd rather have the vision of the transfiguration. I shouldn't call it a vision. That'll give the impression that it was somehow in a person's mind only. I'd rather have the transfiguration than have the more sure word of prophecy. But if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, the fact that the Bible is referred to as a more sure word of prophecy tells us that in God's estimation, it's better. Think of Thomas. Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. So, there was a time for certain gifts and abilities in a certain transition period. And the Lord gave what was needed at that time. At that time. But to assume that those things will necessarily continue for all time, For instance, because at that time there were some people who wrote by inspiration. Therefore, today I can write by inspiration. لأنه بهذيك الوقت الرب أعطى البعض إنه يكتبوا بالوحي، بالتالي أنا بقدر أكتب بالوحي. لا، هذيك كانت مرحلة خاصة. الرب أعطى بهذيك المرحلة الشيء يلي الأشياء يلي هذيك المرحلة تطلبتها. What was needed in that time, God gave in that time. And having God's word is having that which is clearer, having that which is complete. Now it's as if we see darkly. Then we will see more clearly. Now what we have is partial, piecemeal, fragmentary, اللي عنا بالوقت الحالي وجزئي، لكن وقتها رح يكون كامل. وقتها رح يكون كامل. Now abides faith and hope and love. Remember that these things are connected. Hope and faith, they are connected to love. Going back to verse 7, because love believes all things and love hopes all things. Turn with me to some other passages where we have mention of this triad or trinity. هذه الثلاثية اللي هي المحبة والإيمان والرجاء. Romans chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then verse 5 says, hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, you have the faith and you have the hope, and these things are also associated with the love of God, Romans 5, 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6, Galatians 5 والأعداد 5 وستة. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Hope and faith, and in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. So again, you have in close proximity, you have hope and faith and love. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So once again, in closer proximity, faith and love and hope. And let us, and hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. In one verse now. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Faith, love, and hope. One other passage in which these are mentioned, Hebrews chapter 6, Abranin 6 wa adad 10 ila adad 12. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 10, love, verse 11, hope, verse 12, faith. Verse 12, faith. A believer can do without certain gifts, but no believer can do without what? Without faith, hope, and love. No believer can do well maybe I could say, without faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these, he goes on to say, is love. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible identifies love very strongly with God, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Also, 1 John 4 and verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. And God in him. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, Rumitmeni 24, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? And therefore, when we are with the Lord Jesus, when we are with him in heaven, in heavenly glory, then there's not going to be faith, at least there's not going to be faith in the same way that faith is active and present and plays a role in the here and now. And hope as well. Why do you hope for that which you see? So faith and hope will diminish over time, but love will abide. Now abides, in this time, faith and hope and love. The greatest of these is love. As I said, identified with God. The Bible doesn't tell us that God is faith. The Bible doesn't tell us that God is hope. The Bible tells us that God is love. And that love will always be there. And this is why the Bible says that the Lord appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. رب ترى لي منذ القدم قائلا محبة أبدية أحببتك. Look also at Psalm 103 and verse 17. مزمور 103 والعدد 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from what? Is from everlasting to everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. Here, Arabic, for once, not many times, but Arabic has a richer vocabulary here than English. And so in Arabic you say, إِنُّ مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ مُنْدُ الْأَزَلِ إِلَى الْأَبَدِ. بالإنجليزي كلمة واحدة للأزل والأبد. بالعربي واحد بيقدر يميز. Some people say that, but I think azal is eternity past, yeah. And abad is eternity future, and you can people say mundul abad, but actually I think it is more correct. But I'm not an authority on the Arabic language by any means. I think it's more correct to say mundul azal. Anyway, from everlasting to everlasting, God's mercy is upon his children, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the very end. أحبهم إلى إلى النهي. Now abide faith and hope and love. Was prophesying important in that time? You'd better believe it. And other gifts that God gave were important. Knowledge and languages, they had their role and they had their place. And someone might feel, you know, here's Paul coming along and saying, these things are going to go away. And someone might say, if these things are going to go away, then what will remain? There are many things that remain. Faith and love and hope remain. These now abide. These will continue. And even when the gifts go away, it's because the perfect is come. It is because the perfect is come, God's word on the way. So we should realize that some things pass away, but some things remain. It's not just a matter of, you know, everything passes away. The world passes away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. These gifts are given for a certain time. They're passing away, but that doesn't mean that we're left with a void, with a loss, with a vacuum. إنه هالهبات ستنتهي ما معناتها إنه خسارة وصارتنا بنوع من الفراغ لا أول شيء لأنه الكامل آتي الكتاب المقدس بس في إشياء تانية باقي there are other things that remain faith and hope and love and of these things the greatest is love what you see here in some sense is a kind of a stylistic thing you know people sometimes say you start with an idea and you kind of develop it in various ways and then you come back and you reiterate the basic idea في أسلوب معين إنه حدا بيعطي فكرة وبعدين بيطور تفاصيل وبعدين بيرجع بالنهاية إلى الفكرة الأساسية اللي ابتدأ فيها and that is what he did in this passage because he began by saying what? He began by saying if you have all the abilities in the world to speak in languages or to prophesy or to sacrifice and you don't have love And you don't have love. And so we need to understand what is important and what is not. We need to understand what is important, what is not. And it's not always the case of something is important, other thing is not. I'm being a bit, you know, simplistic here. But we need to understand that some things are more important than others, which may themselves be more important than others, which may themselves be more important than others, and to have the right balance, the right perspective, the right view of things. The right view of things. You know, people can have a distorted view of things. And one of the things that the Lord Jesus said is, I think, a very good example of that. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, Man was not created for Sabbath. Sabbath was created for man. And they were behaving in that day and time as if the commands regarding the Sabbath were the ultimate thing. Now the Lord had given commands, they had taken commands that this is a day of rest and this is a day of worship. They have expanded them greatly. And developed all sorts of ideas of their own and claimed that these were interpretations. And so the Sabbath became an empire. And when the Lord Jesus came and he wanted to do good deeds on the Sabbath, they were telling him, you can't do that. Is the Sabbath for man or is man for the Sabbath? What is more important? Faith and hope and love. They abide. And the greatest of them is love. And therefore, and let's now take our step into the next chapter, keeping in mind, of course, the chapter divisions are of our own making, but nevertheless, follow after love. Pursue love. Set love before you as a goal. Walk in the way of love. Paul uses this word follow or pursue in a number of passages as he speaks of the believer's spiritual life. Let's look at some verses very quickly where this word is used. First of all, in Romans chapter 9, the word follow or pursue. Romans 9 and verse 30. What shall we say then that the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness? And then in verse 31 of Romans 9, but Israel who followed after the law of righteousness have not attained to the law of righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 9, this word follow or pursue. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things with which one may edify another. Philippians chapter 3, maybe the most well-known passage where this word is used. Philippians 3 and verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, I pursue, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians and verse chapter 5 and verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, Timotheus lula sitte dash, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Love, patience, meekness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, so that's 2 Timothy 2:2, as if that's important. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Peter 3:13. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3 and verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? So, according to these verses that we now read, here are things we should follow. Righteousness, peace, edification of others, good, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. These are things we should follow. Now, as we're considering just for a moment this word follow, let's also remember that the Bible tells us to follow not just these things, but to follow people, all right? And in particular, people who embody these things and are characterized by these things. And of course, at the top of that list is the Lord Jesus, who said, follow me. And who also said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. And he also said in John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Man yakhdumni falyatba'ni. Paul said, be followers of me even as I am a follower of Christ. Kunu atba' li kama ana atba' al-Masih. Other places where you have statements along those lines, look at in Ephesians 5:1. I'll just mention it quickly. Be followers of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Ye became followers of us. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. You became the followers of the churches of God in Judea, and in particular, you became followers of them. They were persecuted for the faith by their countrymen, so also you have been persecuted by your countrymen. We read Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. اتبعوا الذين بالإيمان والصبر يرثون المواعيد. Follow the faith of those who have the rule over you. Hebrews 13, اتبعوا إيمان الناس يلي رب وضعهم كسلطة عليكم وتحديدا في الكنيسة. Let's just look at Revelation 14 and verse 4. Revelation 14 and verse 4. These are they who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. الذين يتبعون الحمل حيثما يذهب حيثما يذهب. And it is worth asking ourselves. I need to ask myself, what do I follow? And who do I follow? And who do I follow? Following. Do I just drift along? You know, one way or the other, we do end up following people. We do end up following people. I remember when I was driving long distances in the U.S., driving, let's say, from Houston in Texas to Greenville in South Carolina. Now, Greenville, I know that's where I'm going. But the distance from Houston to Greenville is 1,000 miles almost, 1,500 plus kilometers. So what happens is along the way, as you're driving, you end up kind of entertaining yourself to some extent. At least this is what happened with me, by saying, I'm going to follow that car. And so you'd follow that car for a while, and maybe it wasn't going fast enough, you'd go faster, pass it or something like that. Or maybe it would leave the road and you'd say, okay, now I'm going to follow another car. What is it that we follow? What is it that we have our eyes on? What are things that we want to have, people we want to be like? What pattern do we want to fit? Do we want to fit? Looking unto Jesus. And when we say looking unto Jesus and we say that we need to follow him, we need to pursue him, remember how Peter followed the Lord Jesus at a certain point, which is Matthew 26 and verse 58, where it says Peter followed him afar off. بهداك الوقت بهداك الظرف بهداك الوضع بطرس تبع المسيح من بعيد. Following from afar off, this is not the pattern to follow. And of course, Peter fell into all sorts of problems. Some people say that part of it was that he was following afar off. Look at Psalm 63 and verse 8, an interesting statement. It says, my soul follows. In our old translation, it says hard. But a better translation is, my soul follows close behind you. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. We need to follow after love and not follow after love. Oh, you know, way in the distance, you know, that's where love is. And now I have my eye on love. Close. Follow hard. Follow close. You need to follow after love. The first verses of chapter 13 speak of the importance of love. Let's remember the importance of love as well by looking at Revelation chapter 2 and the first church that is addressed in the set of seven churches. Revelation 2 and beginning with verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the middle of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, how you cannot bear them who are evil, and you have tried them who say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And you have borne, and you have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Many good things in these verses are mentioned regarding this church. But then it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because you've left your first love. And remember, that is left, not lost. Sometimes people misquote this verse. They say, I have somewhat against you because you've lost. All right? because you have lost. لأنك فقدت. لا. لأنك تركت. Because you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. And repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and I will remove your lampstand, I will remove your candlestick from its place, except you repent. So those other things that were mentioned regarding the church of Ephesus in verses 2 and 3, while they are valuable and important, the lack of love, the Lord says, the lack of the first love, the Lord says that if the situation doesn't change, I'll come to you quickly and I will remove you. And I will remove you from your place. So, you need to follow after love. And in particular, the Corinthians needed to follow after love. Because love was clearly lacking in their makeup, in their behavior, in their thinking. And their conduct. There was a lot of love, a lot of love of self, and perhaps a love, to some extent, a love of the world. All right? You need to follow after love. And desire spiritual gifts. And desire spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are important. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. If I don't have love, then my interest in spiritual gifts will result in what? Will result in an abuse. إساءة استخدام هالمواهب. For my own applause and my own self-glorification and all of that, I want to outshine others. You know, so let's say God has given me, let's say, a good voice, all right? That means that when there's a choir, I want to sing louder than the others. The choir is not about one person singing louder than the others. A choir is supposed to be people singing together. One person singing louder than the others, it happens in various times and it has its place. But for someone to have that as its purpose, you're ignoring what's supposed to be taking place. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. If you have the love, then you will have the right spirit, the spirit where you will use your gifts in the right way. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now here again, our old translation is a little bit unclear. Here are some other renderings. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Here's another translation. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Among spiritual gifts, what he is saying here, and he says it in other places in chapter 14, among the spiritual gifts, at least the ones that are under consideration, prophecy is the one that it should be looked at with the greatest respect. Prophecy is the one that should be considered most valuable. In other words, prophecy is more important than languages. So follow love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially prophecy. Now, different people have different ideas in their minds regarding what the word prophecy means. Here and there, people will use the word prophet in their conversations. We want to make sure that we understand it the right way, the biblical way. So let's just stop and remind ourselves of things that we've mentioned here and there about prophecy and about what prophecy means as it is used here in this passage. Prophecy is to speak on behalf of God, to speak with a revelation which he has given.
إنه يتكلم الإنسان وكأنه المتكلم باسم الرب، إنه يتكلم بإعلان الرب أعطاه.
Now one thing that sometimes people think about when they think about prophecies, they think that it has to be about future events. This is one kind of prophecy. This is one kind of prophecy, but it is not the only aspect of prophecy. For a person to stand up and to tell people, let's say like John the Baptist told people, that you need to repent. You need to repent. Someone might say, oh, this is not prophecy because he didn't speak about future events. No, it is prophecy. It's a message that God gave him that he was declaring to men. All right? Because prophecy doesn't have to be about future events as if that's the only aspect or characteristic of prophecy. A message that God gave to be delivered to men. Here are some of the characteristics of prophecy which we see in chapter 14. In verse 4, it says, the one who speaks with an unknown tongue edifies himself. Prophecy edifies the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. Rather that you prophesied. And again, he mentions the church receiving edification. So prophecy builds up others. It gives edification. It gives also comfort. Look at verse 3. He that prophesieth speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Verse 31. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. Prophecy. Again, as we try to understand or remember what the Bible means when it uses this term, look at chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convicted of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And so what we see over here is prophecy. The Lord can use it to bring what? To bring salvation, to bring repentance and faith to the heart of one who is unsaved. So it does actually have this power, this ability, this aspect to it. Although we would think of it as being a declaration, sometimes we think of it as a declaration to God's children, but it's also, in some sense, it's also evangelistic, right? It is the declaration of a message unto men, and that message, when it reaches the ear of the unsaved, can also reach the heart of the unsaved. So this is also part of the picture. Also, we need to remember, and here I'm departing just a little bit from what we have here, we need to remember that prophecy is subject to the Word of God. What do I mean by that? I can stand up and I can tell you, all right, I'm a great prophet of God, and let me tell you, it is God's will, God's desire, God's command that every single one of you eat honey. All right, now why would I say this? Because I have a bunch of bees in there and I make honey. عندي مجموعة نحل وبعمل عسل وبلكن انه وصية الرب انه كلكن لازم تاكلوا عسل انه كلكن لازم تاكلوا عسل. When the Lord gives a message to someone to deliver to others, yes, there is in that message something needful, and perhaps you might say something new. But at the same time, if there is something new, it must be in harmony with what God has previously revealed.
Otherwise, it's new, weird, crazy, and actually now you are shifting into another category, which is the category of false prophets, of false prophets. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. إلى الشريعة وإلى الشهادة إن لم يتكلموا بحسب هذه الكلمة بحسب هذه الكلمة فلا نور لهم لا نور لهم. Acts 17 and verse 11, the people of Berea, the Bible says of them, Acts 17:11, أشرف من الذين في تسالونيكي, more noble than those who were in Thessalonica, because they received the word with all readiness of mind, سمعوا الكلمة باستعداد, and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And I always like to continue to the beginning of verse 12, where it says, therefore many of them believed. All right? Some people might say, oh, why didn't they just believe Paul's word? Paul is very, very happy. Paul is jumping for joy when people don't receive his word on its own, but rather go to the scriptures. All right? Don't worry about Paul. He's doing cartwheels. All right? He's very glad. Therefore, many of them believed. 1 John chapter 4 and the first few verses, Yohanna al-Ula 4, وَالْعَدَيْدْ مِنْ وَاحَدْ إِلَىٰ ثَلَيْتِ. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By this know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, of which ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So, it's not anyone who comes and tells you, you need to eat honey with potatoes. that necessarily is a prophet. And it's not a matter of him having a deep voice, having a clear and pleasant way of expressing things. These things in certain ways are helpful and desirable, but what are they compared to what? The need for the message to be in harmony with that which God has already revealed. Many claim to be prophets who are not so. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle mentions a group of people. In fact, a good part of 2 Corinthians, he mentions people who claim to be prophets. But in particular, 2 Corinthians and 11, chapter 11 and beginning with verse 13, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look also at Second Corinthians, one more chapter, chapter 12 and verse 12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders, and in mighty deeds. All right? And so Paul the Apostle says that I have shown myself, established myself in a certain sense. It's not just anyone who claims to be a prophet. I remember I was talking about long drives when I was in Houston, the people in the church there, the pastor and his wife were graduates of Bob Jones University, and they would make trips back to the Bob Jones University, usually twice a year, in the spring, something called Bible Conference, and in the fall, because they were involved in education, there would be a meeting of Christian schools and many things related to that, including fine arts, music, and other things, a fine arts festival. Anyway, and so the pastor used to say, they used to drive all night. They used to leave Houston around 8 o'clock at night, and if you drive through the night, you get to Greenville a little bit more than 12 hours after that. You leave at 8, you get there at 10 the next morning. It's, distances in a very big country. Anyway, so the pastor used to say, we drive and you end up, he said, by the time it's midnight, we're in the middle of Louisiana. And he said, you know, in Louisiana, he said, this is just his description. I don't mean to target some particular people, but it's just a description. And he said, you know, you turn on the radio, which, you know, when you're driving and at night, you want something to kind of entertain you, keep you aware. And he said, you turn on the radio in Louisiana around midnight. And there are different kinds of stations, including religious radio stations. And so, on one of the radio stations, you turn it on, and someone is saying, I am the true prophet of God. And the pastor's describing this, and he said, you know, right away you know to turn to another station. So you turn to another station, also a religious station, and guess what you find? You find out that the person is saying something like, some of you may have heard of so-and-so on that other radio station claiming to be the prophet of God. Let me tell you, he's not. I am the true prophet. I am the true prophet of God. It is not a matter of just making a claim. It is not a matter of just making a claim. Paul the apostle was able to say, signs of an apostle have been wrought among you. And as I said, being in conformity with the message already preached, look at 2 Timothy and notice how Paul refers to his testimony. He says, in 2 Timothy 3 and beginning with verse 8, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. These are names of the magicians. They are mentioned in Jewish historical sources. So do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, even as theirs also was. But you have fully known what? My doctrine, and my manner of life, and my purpose, and faith, and long-suffering, and love, and patience, and persecutions, and afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra, and the persecutions that the Lord delivered me out of. Evil men will become worse and worse, it says in verse 13, but you should continue in the things which you have learned, especially since, and then you have that very special statement, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Profitable doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when we are speaking of prophecy, we are speaking of someone who not just is making a claim. Not just is making a claim. You've fully known my doctrine. You know that which is stated is in accordance with God's word, with God's previous declarations, with God's previous proclamations. Follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, and if you're going to regard something in the world of spiritual gifts as being very, very valuable? Prophecy isn't. Prophecy is it. He'll go on to say other things about prophecy, which we'll look at, and a series also of contrasts between prophecy and between languages. It's not that he was in that time anti-languages, because the gift of languages was given by God, but it was not being regarded in the right way, thought of, exercised in the right way. There was a misplaced emphasis upon it and a misplaced importance given to it. And so he wants people to know what is important among the gifts, and he wants people to know that they must follow after love. They must follow after love. What do you follow after? And what do I follow after? What do we regard as valuable and as important? The Bible speaks to these things. The Bible tells us what we should follow. The Bible tells us what is important. And do we accept what the Bible says regarding such matters, or do we say, I want to follow whatever I want to follow, and I want to regard things as important depending on my own likings and my own way of thinking, my own standards, criteria, and so on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us indeed to follow after love. We thank you because we have a message that speaks to us of faith and hope and love, of these great things which have come to us in particular in the form of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of love. We pray that you would increase our faith and increase our hope and increase our love as well, and help us to use the gifts that you've given unto us to magnify your name. Help us to follow after you and to follow after you closely. Help us to know what is important and what is less so. Give us wisdom and discernment so that we will do things in the right way in this time and age in which we live and in which we are called to serve you and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.